I'd like to reconvene the meeting, June 28th, Burchett County Board of Commissioners. Also will be a normal meeting also. Mr. Balance, will you give us invocation and pledge allegiance, please?
Yes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come now to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. God, we ask now that you come and rest in this meeting, God. Lord, that good decisions can be made on behalf of the citizens of Burchett County. God, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do, every bit of progress that will be made. We give you the glory and the praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Balance.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Public comments, 3 minute public comments. Seems to be no public comments. Council of Aging updates by Director Rebecca Smith. How are you, ma'am?
I'm great.
Good.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Everyone, and thank you for allowing me this time to give you an update on the Council of Aging. We've been very busy, as I hope to show you today some of the great things that we are doing. As an update, of course, the fiscal year ends today. Our cost savings for Medicare, for SHIP counseling, that's a very popular service that we offer that assists beneficiaries with finding resources to pay their Part D plans, as well as obtaining Medicaid and things of that nature. In the year of 2023, so I cannot claim credit for this because this is before I came in, but 164 clients across 13 counties, Medicare beneficiaries were served with a cost savings of our Burchett County folks of $235,974. Wow. So that is tremendous for this county. We hope to, with now having two of us on board doing counseling pretty constant and also during open enrollment, we have to hope to have even greater numbers for the year of 2024. With our home and community care block grant funding, we have served for congregate meals and home delivery meals. I don't have the final numbers. I was trying to calculate this morning, but well over 6,000 meals were served between the two home delivered for people who could not get out, congregate. We have a site in four areas of the county where people can come in and have a hot meal and congregate with other folks as well. For our housing and home repair program, we assisted 11 clients with ramps and railings and things of that nature. That's a very popular program, but unfortunately, it is expensive when you get into housing. Of course, inflation has inflated all of those costs, so it is very hard, but we hope to, we did get a little bit more funding for this year, so we hope to be able to serve more clients. Our in-home aid program, we provide in-home aid services to folks who don't qualify for Medicaid. And there's a sharp slope. If you don't qualify for Medicaid, Medicare does not pay for home care. So we assisted 15 clients in the county with 2,616 hours of service during this year. For our medical transportation, which is very vital in this county, most of the things are out of county, or even just with the ruralness and the great area of the county, we had 547 units, which is a one-way trip, to 34 different clients. We also were very fortunate to have EdTap funding, which comes in through the state, and we were also able to assist with in-county and out-of-county transportation as well for folks. With that EdTap funding, we also can provide day trips for our seniors to go out of town, free of charge, anybody who's over 60 or disabled. And we provided three trips, one to Williamsburg, one to Raleigh, and one to Smithfield. We did fill the bus on all three of those trips, and people were very happy to be able to get out and do those things. So we were very busy and very cognizant of those dollars and hope that we made a difference in our citizens. For our scope process, I wanted to update you with that, and I've included, this is the application packet for certifications, all scope, and it basically is an evaluation of a senior center that they are performing above what is normal in customary. So you kind of go that extra mile and do more than what is required. It is very extensive. What we are doing is we did meet the square footage, and so we are applying. It's an initial period of 12 months. What you have to do is you have to apply. Then you have to do everything in this packet for 12 months. The state will come in, verify that you've done everything. Your documentation has to be in order, and they will grade that. Once we go through that initial year, we're certified, and then the very next fiscal year, we will receive two more shares of our general purpose funding.
That's beautiful.
So, and that is good for 5 years. So during that 5-year period, we continue to provide these level of excellence services. They come in at the end of 5 years, and they look back through those 5 years to make sure that everything is in order. And then you're recertified for another 5-year period. So it is an extensive process. I've begun laying the framework for doing that. We have to have above average services. We have to provide all of the programming that is listed. We have to have a certain number of activities. We have to have a certain number of special activities. We have to be providing a lot of different services to meet the needs of our seniors. So my goal, we will start in September. We will do that 12-year process. And there are some things I'm putting in place over the summer. We have to form an advisory board. We have to get that going with bylaws and things that were not in place. We also have to bring up that level of activities and services that we're doing. I am quite confident that we will be able to gain that certification and maintain that certification. So I would love to involve you all with the process, maybe on a quarterly basis, just to update you and let you know where we are in this process. But that is my goal. And again, we are already starting before September 1 and getting to that point. We have a very big event tonight that I would like to personally invite you to. We have our senior prom this evening. We have 100 of the time I left the building. We have 117 seniors throughout the county registered to attend the senior prom this evening. It will be at the Chiefs Building. The doors open at 5:30. The prom runs from 6 to 9. We have a catered dinner from the Heritage House. We have music, we have door prizes, there'll be dancing. It is semi-formal, so we will have people just decked out to the nines. We are very excited to be able to do that. I invite you, if you're in the area, please stop in. Dinner is at 7. I did order some extras in case anyone would like to join us. I know Mr. Vaughn said that he was looking to try to, so I extend that invitation. Please come out and see them. They would love to see you as well. So that is pretty much where we're at right now. I don't know if you've been receiving them, but I have been sending the calendars out through email. I'm not sure if you've received them, but I would love for you to, again, be abreast of what we're doing. We're doing a lot of good things, and they would love to see you at some of the events that we do. I want you to know the things that we are doing, so in case some of the citizens ask you what's available at the Senior Center, you'll be able to let them know. And so the calendar, that's July's calendar. It will be coming more robust as time goes by. We already do a lot, but again, we're expanding, we're doing new things. We're looking to do things not just at the Senior Center, but in all areas of the county as we are able. We have had some staff members that have taken some training to become lay leaders for a matter of balance, which is an evidence-based class. We will be providing that at different areas, different churches. So again, if you come across any constituents that need services, need something, please let us know. We will be happy. It's a senior center is more than just the four walls. So we want to serve the areas of the county that the seniors need things. So does anybody have any questions?
No, I'd just like to make a statement.
Oh, okay.
Good. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Yes.
Noticed by many people.
Yes. Yes. That's all I was going to say as well. So. Oh, I could tell. Yeah.
You're 28 of being involved with senior centers, but it's truly my passion. And I love being able to do the things that I do. And I want to extend my heartfelt thanks for everything that you do for us to be able to do these things. Again, I think I've mentioned it in the past. I've come from a county where that was not the idea. So you have been so welcoming and have given me the tools to be able to do these things. And thank you for that. And we will continue to grow and be a senior center of excellence that Bertie County can be very solid.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I clap for him?
Oh, yeah.
Economic development update by Director Franklin Williams.
Good morning.
I had worked with her in another county. She was just as effective, with less. They just love her. They're still endeared to her. And to see her here, I know there's going to be great things in that department. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to talk about economic development, but she just was only the first.
Yes,
we've
worked together in the past.
Yeah. So she's very people. I mean, that was a case. Congratulations, Commissioner. You got the gold standard. Economic development, as a result of various work sessions with the commissioners and all of the lead of the county manager and prioritizing the needs of the county as far as economic development, we hit seven different areas. The priority, number one, was acquiring the matching funds. $1.3 million for the construction of a new 911 center. The grant request was written to Congressional Priority Spending Committee for $1.6 million. At that level, they go through different levels of approval, and our grant is at the has made the final cut pending government shutdown or something that goes wrong in Congress. we should be able. I'll put it like this, I'm 95% sure. And pending, you know, no government shutdowns and things like that, that we have been approved for $1.6 million.
Fantastic.
Which, you know, the 1.3 is there. $50,000, we had a work session early in the year. Commissioner Trent brought up repeater stations. The repeater stations are in that grant. But then the rest of the I think it's $250,000, $100,000. That will be at the commissioner's discretion to use under the scope of E911, however you want to do that. I've made several different proposals to the county manager, and you know, sometimes I can get very creative. So yes, pull me in. I was looking at rehabilitation of our wellness center, which I wrote another thing for that, but we got the money right there, and as long as we put maybe a backup 911 center in there, that space can be rehabbed and used for the county, or the money can be used to buy handicap accessible vans. That was something that the commissioners have been talking about. You can label them as EMS, get an interdepartmental agreement with DSS, they'll be at DSS disposal.
Okay, sure.
Not all of it. So that'll be up to you guys. I just get the money, y'all spend it.
Yeah, I got things for you. When you said repeater tires,
yes, sir.
That's been something that has been talked about for 9-10 years now.
Yes, sir.
Especially with the school shootings that were years ago that have been occurring still, okay?
Yes,
that is a blessing in itself.
Yes, sir.
And if we get that and you seem fairly positive about it, hey, excellent job, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yes, I have told everybody from the governor to U.S. senators, the whole nine yards. Is, you know, it's not a question of if it would, you know, when it's going to happen.
Well, the county manager made sure I stayed on top of it.
Yeah.
That was one of his, you better get it. Well, he deserved better get it. Additional A request was made for firefighting equipment, jail system makeup and match for the any type of shortfall. And that has made it past the final stage as well. So I think we got two. The third one was $265,000 to rehab specifically wellness center. Where you want that wellness center, that will be a commissioner decision. But if we can just find the funds to do it, you can do it at the old school or commissioner balances expressed some concern about another school. So that'll be up to you guys. I'm just trying to get it. Now that one, I don't know if it's gonna make it to the final level or not, but to up the front. $5,000 is not bad. We can always go back and try again. Marketing potential industrial sites. We have went for a ride with Commissioner Trent. He showed me a lot of industrial sites and things of that nature. What we did was backtrack and we took pictures of all that. We have loaded them up on the state website. They were in Roxville, Kelford, Wilsonville, and Orlando. And each site was promoted by description, labeled in Bertie County, site map to pinpoint the location. So if someone in California wants to come and visit, they have all the information there and the tax dollars, so they know who can contact and they want that property. That has been very successful. So far, we've had just in the month of June, three hits from the state. Project Panama is a manufacturing. They deal voltage distributors. And they're looking at 125 to 200 jobs, $60 million investment in the county. Project Strong, we're competing for that. They're manufacturing electric bonus. That's an $80 million investment. They're looking at 250 to 300 jobs in the county. Project Optimus Prime, they build electrical transformers. 250 jobs, but it's a 24-hour operation. They're looking at that $88 million investment. So we're out there competing now. You know, we don't just go to other counties and look, we come to our county too. But hopefully those sites are something we like. We also have talked to Zacharias Construction Company. They have placed some bids in the county before. And what they are doing is getting those old industrial sites, buying them, rehabbing them, making them look good, and then finding companies to lease that property to, and that's how they make their money back. So they're very interested in a lot of our brownfield sites, as well as greenfield sites. Area 3, community access to broadband, CAPRI. Have regional meetings with the regional task force. I'm right there at the table trying to find out what's going on. Right now, the battle is with that $400,000 match.
Yep.
Most of our counties, our size, don't have that $400,000 match, and so we have combined together to make an appeal. Now, the second thing that's going to work in our favor is that we just got a grant with five. It was a $9 million grant spread through other four counties.
Yeah, definitely.
And so they did not say, they did not specify where the matching funds had to come from. So if we can take the money we're going to get from five, however much that is, and use that to reward our matching, then we qualify for the grant. The last numbers that we got as far as great grant completion was 46%. We have to be at 83.
Right.
And I know, well, what's taking so long to get to 80? They have to go back because some of the maps are not accurate and make sure that they did what they were supposed to do. If they didn't, they got to undo it and redo it. And that just takes time.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Frank, that $9 million, that was part of the governor's grant, right? When he gave a special grant to like four counties. Is that what that came from? Five mm-hmm. counties. Right. Now, the mapping piece, you know, that we had, there was some discussion with Roanoke, well, it was Roanoke Connect then, because you know, they know where the gaps are, yes. Right? So we might want to have some discussion with them and see how much they could support us in doing that map, because mapping is kind of in our lap, right?
Right.
There's a new map coming out, but it's still up to the local folks to say, where do you not have service? Because if you look at the maps right now, if there's one person served on that road, right, yes. is considered having connectivity there. And we know that's not the case.
So they might be able to help us.
You are absolutely right. They're trying to come in there and fill in the body.
Right.
They're trying to fill in the gaps for us. Now they're arguing back and forth, saying, well, look, we've got so many counties that don't have the 400 counties.
Right.
Maybe we just need to do a wake. So that's where we are. There's a meeting on July the 18th at Roanoke, Chihuahua Community College. The Rural Center is bringing in the Collaborative Broadband Initiative Task Force, which oversees all of it. They'll give us the latest updates and how to access the maps and things of that nature. And I'll try to stay on top of it as best I can. But our petition was heard. And so there's real, I'm believing that $400,000 match is going to dissipate because these rural counties just don't have it.
This has been an ongoing changing deal all the time, yes, right? There has been no real finalization. The $400,000 was thrown out there. I remember Commissioner Weston speaking of it the other day.
Yes,
didn't have a number, of course, but it was, you know, rumored what was going, there was going to be a match. But this has been an ongoing moving thing. And nobody has really made the mind up what the deal is going to be. But you think it's going to dissipate.
I think it's going to dissipate because all of our small counties joined together. We all sent letters saying, listen, that's just too much of a burden, too much of a lift for a county our size. You know, 17,000 people. I mean, you do math, it's not worth it. So, and the biggest part, Mr. Trent, is they got the money already. I mean, they got like $5 billion just sitting there waiting on counties where they can be doing work all alone.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you want to make it, I mean, out of the $4 million you're going to give us, if you want to take, just give us 3.6.
Right.
Get a lot done with that. But just trying to come up with $400,000, it's difficult.
Right. Also, when you go to the meeting, pay attention, if you would, to the two other pieces that are there. There's a significant amount of money for training, right, and education, especially in low-wealth communities where people may not understand the importance of having broadband, right?
Yes,
so that's they got a lot of money that they'll, you know, can come up with a program to use it to train our citizens and businesses, right, of the importance of this. It's a good thing. And then the other piece is for the actual polls, right? Mm-hmm. There's a poll piece of the grant that FIVE might be interested in because they could reduce, if they're going to be our cab provider, that they could use that piece of the grant to reduce their cost to us. Yes. You follow me? So even if maybe, you know, I don't know if it can be used for the matching, but it certainly could be reduced to reduce their cost. And we save that way as well.
Oh, yes, sir. And just spot on, that meeting that's happening on the 18th. Involves digital literacy.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
So we're going to do the best we can to make that.
It's a lot of money in that.
It's going to be from 10 to 1 at Royal Chihuahua Community College on July 18th. So
I'll be there.
I will be free. I have no choice.
I'll be there as well, friend.
Okay. Now, Area 4, animal shelter. And the manager's made this a priority for me. Find the funding that is needed to do what needs to be done. And we've been working tirelessly trying to figure out a way to get this thing done. I've had meetings with Senator Tillis's office. And at its current cost, we're going to pay $1.3 million. The suggestion is to wrap it up into a capacity building grant. In other words, find other projects that we need and throw that in there and ask for an enhanced number. However, I think there's a better way to do this thing. Commissioner Trent has a set of plans that I think are a lot more affordable. And also the plans from Carrillo County. I just spoke with our finance officer. We're going to plan a trip to go down there to see that facility. That cost, if we can get it, even double the cost of the thing, I think we'll be better off, and I'll make a presentation to our county manager and you all.
May I interject here? I got an email from Ed Stiles, Senator Hanick's office, yesterday at, I don't know, it was probably about 10 minutes till 5. I responded back, and what he's trying to do is identify our animal shelter because it was sent in, or he had received information that was Roanoke Chowan, Bertie Roanoke Chowan Humane Society shelter, but in reality is the Bertie County Animal Shelter. So I had to get that cleared up. And I did that by email and also by phone call to Mr. Stiles. The next thing was that I responded, yes, that is Bertie County Animal Shelter. The shelter is owned by Bertie County, okay, which it is. And Senator Hanek emailed me this morning and it says, I know you're working on a new shelter, but surely there's some improvements that can be done to the one that we have in place already, okay, until they can get to the money stage of what's going on. Because one of the citizens had sent some information in seeking state help also, like we've done, okay? Right. No different. And I responded back, and I wanted to make sure the board is aware that this thing is on the table, and they are trying to get something done for us. And I responded back, when that shelter was built years ago, it was designed as an open-air facility. Climate control is necessary to protect from the heat and the cold. The design does not allow for those type of modifications. The commissioners have looked at all options when it comes to this shelter. Not only just doing something with that shelter, but building a new shelter, trying to do anything that we can do, but the possibilities of how it was built can't be done. If you try to do something on top of that, the concrete that's been poured there, we don't know what the footers are. We don't know what the strength of it is. We don't know 3,000 PSI when we go to a metal building, things of that nature. So you'd have to have bore testing, all kinds of stuff. It can't be done. I have forwarded this email to our to Mr. Steinberg, Senator Steinberg, I should say. Yeah. So he's aware of these conversations that are going on right now. But I do think that they're fighting, trying to get this for us. And, yes, and that's where we're at right now. So I want to make the board aware of this and also let them know.
Okay. We met with him and the manager.
Yeah.
He'll do everything he can. So I just sent it to Tillis's office. They're excited about trying to do something here. This is one of the areas he wants to hit as far as investing in. But he just needs projects. The 1.3 is not going to fly. We got to put some stuff in there, or we got to bring the cost of the building down. It's our choice. But I'll do best I can to get it done. I'll do best I can to get it done. But I think if we tie other things to that and do a capacity building grant with directed funds, in other words, under the commissioner's direction, how we line the projects up and how we spend the money, I think we stand a better chance of acquiring grant funds. And when we go for things like that, the match is very low. Sometimes it's zero. But if we try to do it standalone, there's definitely going to be some type of match attached to it, and we'll be right back in the same boat. So it makes more sense to try it this way or to deal with the cost of that building, getting something feasible on paper, dig ready, and show them that this is what you need, and giving it to them in writing. We can talk back and forth all day, but that's the stage out there right now. It's trying to get some plans, dig ready. We're ready to do this. We just need funding. And I think we can overcome that barrier. That's my biggest barrier. If I can get past that one, I'm happy. I know I've done a breach. Area 5, our Tri-County Airport, that's a monthly meeting. They have a site plan to expand its functionality by extending or upfitting the parallel runway, which means more service, and also putting up T-hangers, which is better for us because when people house their planes, we charge them property tax for it. So we're doing the best we can. They hired all blanks. Jim Talbert and Albright, and Senator Hanek is at that meeting. That's when I also talked to him about that. He and Michael Ray are working together with Zoom Assembly to try to come up with some solutions. Last year, other airports, same size as ours, got huge money, $10 million, $15 million. We got nothing. So we have the right to kind of squawk a little bit, and hopefully we'll get a little bit of something with And I think that'll be a major development for our airport. Right now, it is used a lot by Indiva. They fly their executives in, Purdue. Your major companies, they're using the airport. And so we've got to make it functional and expand it a little bit and get more business there. And it'll become, you know, a great asset to all three counties, Virginia, and North Hampton. Our Economic Development Commission was worrying about work, jobs, trying to get employees to get a job. And so the first thing we did was job analysis, 10 mile circumference outside the boundaries of Virginia. So Virginia, 10 mile all the way around. And according to North Carolina Works, as of February, there were 357 jobs readily available to these people right now. In our region, jobs range from day labor to agriculture, healthcare, and manufacturing. Skilled labor is 21% of that versus non-skilled labor. Then they asked me to do an employee availability analysis. In other words, how many people are applying for unemployment that want a job? And as of March, there were 325 people who were applying, you know, weekly, doing the weekly thing to seek employment. Our workforce right now equals about 7,231. And the reason the commission thought this was important is that when we go to recruit businesses, we need to show them that we have manpower to fund that business. Also, we work alongside with North Carolina Works, a wonderful organization to partner with. They're great. Not only it's amazing, they provide job training. And there's a specialty that somebody needs to learn for a job, they pay for the tuition, they pay for books, they pay for child care, they pay for gas, you get a gas voucher, they pay for the uniforms. So if someone wants a job, if they look up with North Carolina Works, they can definitely get a job. Project Sparkle is still ongoing. Those people, they live in, I think, New Jersey. And so it's a lot of back and forth. DOT is ready to spend the money, but they don't just want to spend the money and then nobody comes for 5 years. So once they get a firm commitment from individuals who own that, they begin to see some more work there. DOT's, the money is already allocated and set aside. We had told them to go ahead and send it back because we didn't think they were going to do anything, but they said they're going to start out small. So we haven't seen much movement yet. Our Peanut Belt Rural Planning Organization, the Technical Advisory Committee, and the Technical Coordinating Committee met to discuss how to improve things in Division One. Primary focus was running right away for broadband installation throughout the county, trying to make sure that those individuals who are paying the coaxial cable can get right away, redirect traffic, things of that nature. Also, they're going to launch, it was already launched June through August, the Click Your Ticket campaign. So watch your speed and talk to myself. No, they're going to be out there. That's the time they have the most fatalities in the year. It's June and August, people going on vacation. Housing. I want to thank Commissioner Trent and Commissioner Weston. I think we've identified two pieces of land. Maybe three. I'm very excited about the one in Lewis tonight. Everybody dug through. That is doable, especially now. You have workers in that area who need housing. we put things on hold until we can get kind of get our budget going good. We're scheduled to start in July, so this is June, but we got our hand on the pulse. And when you say go, that's when we go. Work is ongoing, have been working in the area of Lewiston with Ms. Vivian Saunders and the town of Lewiston, and we're working with KB Reynolds and Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation. They're going to take the Hive, that house, they have been approved to reconstruct that, make that housing for the Haitian community that's here. They got $300,000 on one side, $250,000 on the other side. Also, they've also been approved to have alternative schooling. Kids that are having problems in the regular school day, that's a place that you can send those kids. They can still get their education until they kind of get them aid together. And they got $300,000 for that. So real proud to do that. Working also with Blue Cross Blue Shield, they're giving the nonprofits. I know a nonprofit funds are kind of limited. So we're hitting these private foundations to try to, we're not hitting them, but at least guiding people through the process. And so far, we've been very successful in that area. Hopefully, there'll even be more success. We got some other things in the file right now. And the upcoming, what I see for the next next 2 to 3 months, I believe the county manager prioritized some more projects that he would like to see that will alleviate pressure for my fund balance. Those grants help to, everything that we have going fund balance, it helps us, it helps the citizens, taxpayers, and it helps you guys to make good decisions and make this a better county. Are there any questions? I know we need a lot of information, but I'm covering a lot of areas.
Actually, the information was excellent. Thank you very much for filling us in.
Frankly, there's also some good news out, too. There's a report that just came out. You may have seen it from NCACC around business, new business establishments. And, you know, even though we're a small county, in the last 5 years, we've had a 10% up growth in terms of the number of new businesses. And to give you an example, look at our counties around us. Our growth has been more than twice of Martin, Hertford, and Terrell. They're down in the 3% and 4%. And we're over 10%. So that's, you know, that's showing that, you know, businesses are interested here. A lot of that growth was small businesses. Yes. I think the small business network that has been very productive here counts for a lot of it. But that's good numbers.
And well, you should mention that that's another reason that broadband is so important.
Yes.
You have a lot of entrepreneurs who are working from home and they're starting home businesses.
Right.
You know, it still adds to what we're trying to do. And so it's important. We're trying to address. When I'm in a work session, I'm listening to where you're trying to go. And I just try to meet you there. So when you get there, you got what you need. And that's the way I do it. And county manager has to be with me all the time because I really go out there and get creative. I'm an outside the box thinker. But if we can get the one industry that construction company Zacchaeus is very interested in was the one you took me by on Oak Drive right there in Lewiston. They love that spot. That is a prime spot for somebody's industry. I know somebody's going to be there for the next year because they've got all the assets and they got the land to do whatever they need to do. So I think that's going to be a winner for us.
No, I'd just like to say, man, I thank you for putting us in a position that we can get looked at and considered by major corporations and things of that nature. So that's a big step, big plus, especially already getting hits. It started with hits.
Yeah. At least we're considering.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody's going to pick us
up.
You might go to the dance, but after a while, you know, somebody's going to ask you.
We'll find somebody to dance for.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you. All right, next on the agenda is going to be our Emergency Management Director, David LaVon, reference hurricane preparedness. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Jim.
Yeah, management. Trying to start off with the meeting that we had last night. We had real good attendance. We had about 35 people there from across the county. Mayors, elected officials, town managers, fire chiefs, you know, other people that help run the county when things go bad. So I thought we had a real good show, and especially, you know, being kind of in the middle of the week and stuff, there were issues. Some of the highlights from that and some of the highlights that's going on. Emergency management is gearing up, you know, for hurricane season to make sure that we've got everything right. For the county, the state is also doing the same thing. They're trying to make sure that we got our 17,000 people covered and the state has got the 10.8 million that we can cover. One of the big takeaways, you know, when you make sure we start planning early, as soon as we see that there's a hurricane or some kind of system coming, to start making sure that we've got everything in place and try to get any of these pre-orders ordered that we should try to get done. You know, especially when you get to the 5-day mark, we may want to try to move some stuff here to help us if they're saying that we're in one of those cones that we're going to have some issues. Last year, you know, the hurricane season, they predicted it'd be normal last year, and they had 14 named systems and 3 main landfall. So, you know, it's kind of an average year. The one that hit us last year was coming in Emerald Isles, Ophelia, on September the 23rd. You know, and then it kind of dripped up through Bertie and it went on out through Virginia. You know, they got 2 to 5 inches of rain. The peak day for hurricane season, most of the time, if you look at the law of averages, is going to be around September the 10th that we normally have the most damage and winds and storms. You know, historically, you know, looking at the storms that's hit Berkeley County and North Carolina, that is pretty much true with the September date. A lot of folks think about the wind and different things, how that will affect people. Most of the deaths that occur, you know, nationwide in North Carolina, 9 out of 10 folks, it's freshwater flooding. And, you know, if you think about Berkeley County and Windsor, freshwater flooding is one of our major issues. So that could happen here. And, you know, we've had some people drown over the years, unfortunately. Wind isn't that big a deal. Think about the rain that we've had with different systems. Irene, depending on where you was at, 15 plus or minus inches. Everybody remembers Floyd is our big one, you know, 20 plus or minus inches, depending on where you're at. You know, everybody starts tracking these tropical storms on May the 15th. The 2024 outlook for this year, you know, guys have probably seen the weather and the news. You know, they're predicting us a pretty big storm year. This is La Nina year. They're predicting 17 to 25 named storms, 8 to 13 hurricanes, 4 to 7 major hurricanes, which is going to put us above normal for the year, which is not good when you think about 85% above normal. And one of the things to think about, the more storms we have, the greater chance we have of something making landfall and something coming this way to see us, you know, which would be bad. I think we're pretty good. We've worked on some shelter stuff the last few days, met with American Red Cross to ensure that we had all those things ready, make sure that we got the staff and everything ready. We do have to open any shelters. Hopefully we don't have to have a storm, and hopefully we don't have to open the shelters. But I think we're in a pretty good place with them. They come last night and talked a little bit about their operation. So between Red Cross and Social Services and EMS, we should be ready to handle any sheltering issues that should arise. Talked about a little bit about last night about the cleanup phase. You know, we talked about all this prep and the shelters, and I thought it was important that we address what happens when the wind stops blowing and the water starts to recede. One of the things that we talked about is some of the thresholds that will have to be met and who pays for what. You know, we've been talking about wanting different people paying for things. To get a national declaration, the state of North Carolina has to have $19 million in damage, which isn't a lot if you think about today's times. And if we don't meet that, you know, a lot of times you won't get that natural declaration. But most of the time, if we've had any storm that hits the coast of North Carolina, we shouldn't have an issue of getting to that threshold, unfortunately. And the way that goes, if it's a national declaration, the U.S., the feds will pay 75% and the state will pay 25%. If it's not declared, the state will pay 75% and the county would have to pay 25%. So we hope that any system that we have that would be declared a national disaster, that way the county wouldn't have to, you know, fork out any money, which could be a lot of money depending on the amount of damage that we have. Switching gears a little bit on some other things. Everybody knows one of the hot topic buttons around the county has been the $5.5 million grant that was acquired a year or so ago. Been talking with the grant administrator for that, Mr. Michael Grant. And we have until June the 30th of 2028 to spend those funds. So we need to try to, you know, get started on that as soon as we can to ensure that we get those things. Because, you know, if we're going to build a building, it takes a while to do all that. If we're going to purchase fire trucks, it takes a while to get those fire trucks. So we've got time, but we don't need to wait. We need to make sure that we're on the front of this thing. And the cost of everything, especially Mr. Trent, being in construction, goes up every year. So, you know, we need to be mindful that the sooner we can spend it, the better off we'll be with the way inflation and things are going. So it's got to get those things going. Commissioner Trent and Miss Robin helped us. We worked on some stuff. Hopefully, we may get another fire truck through Congressman Davis's office. Hopefully, that'll work for the western part of the county. We haven't heard anything back on that, so that would be one additional truck on top of the other things that we've been trying to get. A couple of things I did want to talk to you guys about. Kind of that's the update for EM and fire marshal side of things. EMS, we had 4,300 calls last year, and this year we're going to be around 4,500 to 4,600, depending on the numbers that comes in the next few weeks. You guys know our population is aging, and we've had to do a lot of things that we haven't had to do. We've got staffing issues. Thanks to you guys' leadership, we was able to get those two new remounts ordered last year, and they come in 2 weeks ago. And one of those is in service, and one, when we got it, was already broken. So it's a Phelps Chevrolet. That's just the way things go sometimes. Thanks to the county manager, he allowed us to use some unused funds and some unused salary funds to get two used ambulances, which has helped a bunch. We got a used one from Blue Ray, Virginia, with 70,000 miles on it, which is good. A bunch of ours have 220,000 miles. And we got one from Watauga County with 30,000 miles.
That's fantastic.
And if it wasn't for the county manager, that would not have happened. So I appreciate you guys helping us do that. And we got the one that we got from Blue Ray. We put it in service 3 weeks ago and haven't had any issues with it. The one that we got from Watauga is in Kadena right now getting the power load system switched from an old ambulance to a new ambulance. So that'll be good on the crews and help them a bunch as they try to, you know, go around and help the citizens. And hopefully that'll do away with some of the issues that we've had with people getting hurt and people getting injured. As a department head, I do need to bring something to y'all's attention. I'm going to give y'all a copy of this and some of the issues that we're having on some other things. And I know this has been brought up and maybe even a sort of subject, but I feel like I owe you guys and citizens due diligence this.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Yes, as you guys know, I've talked to several of you guys, and some of y'all have called me several times about some of the staffing shortages and stuff that we have here in the county, and that doesn't seem to be getting any easier. We're falling way behind, you know, with salaries and money. And I know that Bertie is a poor county. Growing up in Orlando, things hasn't changed a bit. And I'm coming to gripe. I've thought about how to say this without it sounding bad. I come to you guys humbly with a servant's heart to try to look out for our citizens, look out for our employees. I know I asked for a $3 an hour raise for all EMS staff, EMTs, and paramedics. And, you know, that was voted down. That's y'all's right to do that. But I feel like we need to do it. I know the money is tight, but we must stay somewhat competitive. Our staff is dwindling pretty fast, and they're going to other agencies that pay more. You know, it's just a matter of fact. If you can make $3, $5, $6 more an hour, they're going to go there. And I know some of the other department heads is going to like that. You know, that some of them may get 3%, and some of our staff may get more. And I get that too. But we've got to look after these things. Last night, you know, a lot of times we're down. We usually run four trucks and a QRV. Last night, you know, we were down trucks and didn't run a QRV. We had all the trucks on calls, and you guys know that we're hosting a statewide baseball tournament here in Windsor, and we had a young man get injured, and the family got tired of waiting on a EMS truck to get there, and they took him POV. You know, that kind of stuff makes us look bad, and I feel like you guys need to know what's going on. Not many people want to come work for us because they want to work other places where they can get more money. We're not replenishing the people that we lost, and our workforce is looking for where they can get paid the most. You know, the workforce nowadays isn't about the benefits as much as it used to be, or, you know, they're just trying to look after their families and feed their families. We do a lot more than answer 911 calls and transport people. We are Berkshire County. We're embedded in everything that happens in the county. The staff of EMS goes above and beyond on a daily basis. I do not want us to put money ahead of the citizens' health and well-being. You know, these people can die, and we'll get to that in a second. like we talked about, we're most of the time we're down trucks because we don't have enough staff to do it. If not running that QRV could save somebody if they're having a heart attack. We're already getting complaints, and some of you guys have heard it, about our response times, and these times will only increase if we don't maintain the adequate coverage that's needed. I don't want us to put the county citizens at risk and their well-being. These shortages could eventually cause additional deaths and would definitely cause longer response time. I feel like that we owe the citizens of Berkeley County the very best emergency medical care possible. And I appreciate you guys hearing me out. I appreciate everything y'all do for us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Next on agenda is going to be board appointments. ABC Board, Michael Freeman.
So move, Mr. Chairman, that we accept the appointment of William Freeman.
Okay. That's a motion.
I second that.
Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Consent agenda. Approved registered deeds fees report, May
2024. So move. We approve the rest of the fee report.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next, approve contractual agreements with Interim Healthcare Morse Group Incorporated. Has the contract's been looked at by legal?
Yes, sir, it has.
Okay. And you're okay with it, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there a motion, please?
So moved.
We have a motion to approve the contractual agreements with Interim Healthcare. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Food services contract with Trump's Restaurant. And is there a motion, please?
Move to approve.
Thanks, sir.
Second.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good. Budget amendments. Approved budget amendments.
And that's one we skip. I know you're going to get back to maybe, but the Shawano Public Transport Authority.
Yeah.
I was going to say on the contract.
Skip
the
first one and the second one.
Yeah, the second one. Too.
Go ahead, Dave. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Do you mind if I jump in one second about the contract? Well, first of all, did you skip one?
I did. Yes.
As far as attorney review, C2 was perfect as is. That's the CPTA.
Mm-hmm.
C3, I have one change on one day, the duration of the agreement. They had a typo.
Yep, that's been done.
Has that been done?
Yes.
Okay, and then C4, Trump's Restaurant. It's got references to a couple of exhibits that would contain bidding material.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend either if the contract wasn't bid out, and it doesn't have to be because it's a service contract, but if it wasn't bid out, then take out the references to bidding materials attached. And if it was bid out, then attach the materials.
That language has been removed.
And that's
also
changed too. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. So yes, sir, I approve all three contracts.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Deb.
All right. Well, we got three budget amendments. One of them is another insurance claim that came in, and we need to update there's a budget for EMS. But there's a second one, the one for the registered deeds. This is a grant that she got from last year's budget, approved out for a leave of absence, but it never got addressed. And so she's got the invoices for the work that needs to be done. So we need to bring that money back out of fund balance and give it to her so she can take care of her. That's on there. And then the third one is with the help of
Kelly Chetkin.
he helped us. I was going to say Shelly. He helped us to write a grant to the North Carolina Agriculture Department and to get some additional funds to use to buy supplies and materials for the existing animal shelter, so we can kind of upkeep that. We got $8,000, and then based on some reason one other county could not accept an award, we got an additional $1,240, so it's total $9,240. So we just like to get that adopted so we can approve so we can move forward.
All right, I'll make the motion to approve those three mentioned budget amendments.
Okay. Second. First and a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is 24-25 budget. Amen.
Commissioners, in your packet on the left-hand side is a budget ordinance and the schedule of fees for Mercy County departments that reflect the budget that we last talked about at our last work session. So if there are no further changes for discussion, it is before you for approval.
I think there's some discussion in reference to the budget and in reference to EMS. You have been called me, the county commissioner, you've been called with them also, correct?
I did, yes, sir.
And you will be looking into that, correct?
Yes, I have. And so just for the public's benefit and awareness, as well as everyone here, as Director LaFond mentioned, and something that I have brought to the Board of Commissioners' attention too, is that we have a number of vacancies in the department of in the departments of EMS, as well as non-emergency transport. And the request has been for EMS and that employees to receive an increase of $3 instead of 3%. And of course, and I've told the board that on more than one occasion that I do recommend that. I see the importance of doing that so that our rates can be competitive, so that we can fill our vacancies and not only attract people, but to retain the current employees that we have. So when it comes to doing that, the cost of that is around $300,000. It's actually $317,000. And when it comes to looking into that, of course, we have a couple of options. Either we would have to find that those additional funds in our budget, or the other option, which is one that I don't recommend, but it is possible to increase the tax rate an additional 2 pennies, going from 4.5 cents to 6.5 cents. That is an option. Again, it's not one that I recommend, but it is an option. The option that I would recommend would be taking a look at the budget to see where those funds could come from. And of course, as you all know, we've had several discussions about, we mentioned $300,000. We think about Mercy County Public Schools, because that in my recommended budget, it was recommended to decrease the public schools appropriation because of the decreased cost and increased fund balance and the closing of facilities that house schools, and even an upcoming facility closing that houses schools. So I just urge the commissioners to consider that we have to consider our employees and the need to keep our department growing and thriving. It not only comes at a cost of losing additional employees, but again, as Director LaFond mentioned, if we don't have staff to run the EMS trucks, we're not only, again, losing employees, we're putting people's health at risk. And we're talking about all citizens, including children, including teachers, including county employees, including seniors. So, again, the options would be to increase taxes. I do not recommend that. But again, it is an option. And then the other option is looking at the current budget and reducing something so that those increases could be given to those departments.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And has anybody considered non-emergency transport as far as cutting it?
Has anybody considered it? I think the board.
We got $772,000 that is there.
Yes, sir.
It loses money. It's lost money. And easily it could be cut down $307,000 to make that as a viable option and moving in that direction. We had discussed shrinking. We have shrank some. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have shrank far enough as far as getting it under control and being able to move and getting that back where it needs to be at. And we don't know what next year is going to present.
Has it been considered? Yeah, yes, of course, it has been considered. That's something that we talked about in a previous work session. It was first brought to your attention back in December when our current director was just getting here. So this us losing money in net is not something new, of course. But again, it was brought to the board's attention back in December. Dave Pickering from Colleton Software came before us and expressed some concerns about losing revenue. When it comes to downsizing net further, of course, that is something that is absolutely possible, but I would just encourage the board to be aware as we downsize net, you had about two or three priorities that you wanted us, management and EMS and net to work on. There was a plan, and it was the plan was to increase marketing, to increase the number of transports, and which essentially increases our revenue. And it's going to be very difficult to do that if we downsize even further. So we did downsize, took the budget from over 900,000 down to over 700,000. And we did that by removing two positions. So can it be cut further? It absolutely can be cut. And it can absolutely be cut all together. And I know that has not something that we want to do, but that's something that is being considered. And I think before we go there, we need to talk about a transition plan. Today's June 28th. And of course, we need to have a budget adopted no later than July 1. So I don't know that we need to, at this particular point, just cut it. I would absolutely not recommend that. We have employees who are currently working there. I think we would need to discuss a transition plan before we just said that we're going to wash our hands of a department like that. But back to the question of whether or not it can be downsized. It absolutely can be downsized. It just comes with a cost.
Yeah. And as far as lapse hours go, what can happen with that?
Lapse salaries. So at this particular point, there are three vacant. What's your question? Lapse salaries when it comes to...
One, you said there was 9 vacancies, correct?
There are 10 vacancies in EMS, one going to the new fiscal year with alleviating two positions. There would be 1 vacancy in net. What's your question about lapse salaries?
And could some of those funds be used for this?
Could lapse salaries be used for increases? They could be to some degree, but of course, as mentioned before in a previous work session, we've seen it before. When we increase our rates in EMS and in net, we attract employees. At a certain point, right after the last increase,
okay,
we were completely staffed. And it may not last the entire fiscal year, because again, when we do that, surrounding counties are also talking about increasing their rates. So after we increase ours, surrounding counties could also increase theirs again, right? So, but back to the answering your question, can lapse salaries be used for that? To some degree, yes. However, we have to make sure that if we are fully staffed, we're able to meet payroll and pay the staff that we have. So we just, not that it, the degree to which lapse salaries can be used is in question, because again, we up our rates, the employees come in there, we're fully staffed. So we have to keep that in mind.
Very good answer, Scott. And you're spot on. Situation is, like I said last year, we needed a 6-cent tax increase last year. We didn't do it. And basically that's what it boils down this year, where we need to be at. Now, I would be in favor of an extra 2 cents onto the tax rate if we need to do that. I don't believe in dealing with the school system and taking money away from our school system that's doing an excellent job. I think this is something that's past due. I think it's something we need to do, and I think that's the direction we need to go in. Now, as far as the rest of the board, I don't know what they feel about that, but comments can be made. Well,
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak to my concern and my interest, and I have said in our last meeting around this budget that I will not vote for approval of this budget for this very reason. And it's interesting that what we're looking at here is $317,000 to invest in a department that we have grown here and started to grow. It needs work. But yet and still, we've said that we're going to raise taxes on citizens by 4.5%. We've cut virtually every department in this county government that we can cut. But we refuse to cut the department or the agency that we fund that I think is in the best financial shape, and that is the school system. And I want to be specific about this. Mm-hmm. The amount of the increase that was requested was about $300,000. That in itself would basically cover this. But that's not really the point. The point is this. The school system has cut their cost for three buildings. And that would be Southwestern, that would be Askerville Preschool, and now Orlando. And the cost that they're saving is more than the request here, and more than even their request for $300,000. In addition to that, the school system, as the superintendent said, the county has been very generous over the years. We have not cut their budget, even though there's been declining population. We have not done that. The school system has over $500,000 in ARPA funds at their disposal. And then the big thing is that they have over $1 million that they've received or will receive from the sale of Askerville Preschool. Think about that. And they have Orlando, which at some point will go on the market as surplus and hopefully will be sold. Don't know if it'll get as much as Askerville. But here's the thing. That $1 million from the sale of Askerville Preschool, at least half of that money should have gone to the citizens of this county. They paid for that school. And that money should have gone to them to help reduce their tax burden. And the school should have part of it too. This is about sharing, about working together. So when we just say we're going to cut everything else, but we're not going to cut the schools even enough, and I'm not talking about cutting from what they had. I'm talking about cutting from the new money that they have. Not even mentioning the lottery funds that are going to be increased this year. So think about that. If we had said, school, give us half of that money from Askerville Preschool, $500,000. Mm-hmm. If we said, you saved enough from the closing of three schools to cover that $300,000 that you're asking for. Not only could not a single teacher would have made less money, not a single student would have been directly affected, okay? But now what we've done, we've raised taxes, so now the teachers are going to be affected because they're going to have to pay more taxes, and so our citizens are going to have to pay more taxes. It's one thing when you say you give somebody a 3% increase, and then you raise the taxes. What have you done? 3%, and then you take it right away and on the other hand, and now we're talking about taking away more than that on the other hand, but there's a simple solution to this. Simple solution that does not, I would say, look, I love Berkeley County Schools. They have done a tremendous, tremendous job. And if I thought this was a cut to teachers or to students directly or anything like that, I would say no. And if we had not done above and beyond what we should have done in the past year since I've been on this board and funded them to every penny they requested, but now that they have additional money, and remember this, at the beginning of last year, our school system had a fund balance larger than this county's. I have not seen another county in this state whose school system has a larger fund balance than their county. And we know, we spoke with the superintendent, that that is likely to increase at the end of this year that we're in right now, right? So it would be a simple thing. If you wanted to cover just that piece, you simply make that one cut. And we're there. That can be done without adding any kind of burden, additional burden to our tax, to our citizens. It just makes more sense to me to do it. And I will not vote for a budget that does not do that.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. And you do make some valid points. One thing I'd like to say, if there was a 2 cent in tax increase on a $100,000 house, that would be equivalent to $20 a year. And that would also be equivalent to only $1.66 per week. Okay. That would come from our citizens. And that is to be able to keep services moving. I think it's very important we keep services moving to be able to do this. I also think that we also learned lessons back in 2014 and 13 when the school budget was cut $500,000 and was cut down to $2.5 million. And in 2016, we were ended up at DPI in a mediation hearing, okay, where we had to raised the budget back up to $3,027,000, where it was at, and it could have cost us over $1 million, but it didn't, okay, because they allowed us to raise the budget back up to where it was at. I also know that the inflation rates that have affected us have affected the school system, and yes, they have gone down at ADM, and yes, there have been some school closures, but I also feel as if those inflation factors that have affected the school have affected us. And if you start cutting to school, we're now kicking the can down the road again. and the increases are going to come anyhow. As I stated last year, I made it very clear when I stated last year, we needed a 6 cent tax increase last year, okay? Last year, to make up for what we're going to need this year, because those increases don't come in until January. Here we are. We kicked the can down the road, and we're here there again. Now, $1.66 per week, if our citizens don't want to do that, that's one thing. But I think it's prudent, I think it's rational, and I think it's something that needs to be done. And I think that we need to do this to keep this EMS system moving forward. $1.66 per week. That is the fund right there.
Mr. Chairman. So,
any other
questions? I have a discussion if you're going. Don't make a motion yet. If you're going, but go ahead. I was going to let you go first, but if you're going to make a motion, I want to go first.
I'm going to make a motion that we accept the budget as is. But question first, statement first, Mr. Chairman, is this. With the non-emergency management, if we lose money, we're losing money. Why would we take a loss? Mr. Manager, why would we take a loss with the children?
We're not taking a loss with the children.
For one
fiscal year, you wouldn't be taking a loss.
Yeah, one fiscal year could be detrimental to our children.
Not when you're when you received more than that $300,000 in the previous year.
Well, the deal was the way inflation comes in place.
I understand that.
Inflation.
You know what I mean? Well, Commissioner Wesson, I'm talking. When you talk, ain't say a word.
Yes, sir.
I respect when you talk.
Respect
right?
You too. You
know, the way, if you respect what I have to say, you should.
Yeah. Look, do you know who you're talking to?
I'm talking to you.
No, you're not. Not in that tone, you're not, my friend. Not in that tone, you're not.
I'm telling you.
Not in that tone. Bring me to order, please. If we're going to conduct ourselves, this is tenacious second. Let's get ourselves under control, please. All of us, okay? This is not what we're about. We're about compromise. We're about trying to do things the right way. We know we're in a situation. We have two items. We have one item that we're having to deal with. And the item is this. We know our emergency service and the 911 people are looking for a pay increase. That's what they need. That's where our emergency management, and that is what our manager has said. There's two options on the table, okay? One would be to cut the school budget. One would be to raise the taxes 2 cents, three, or to cut non-emergency transport. The county manager says he would need to develop a plan to be able to do that. I don't think we have time to do that. Today is the 28th, if I'm not correct. Is that correct? Okay. Today is the 28th. We have to have a budget taken care of by the 1st. There's no time for new meetings. There's no time for new discussions. We've had numerous problems with this budget from day one. From day one. Okay. From May 20th, from the first day that we've had it. Okay. We have lost time because of that. That's taken away from time discussion. Things to be able to figure this out, to figure out what we're going to do. And now we're in a place where we're running out. We have ran out of time. This is because of commissioners. It's because we had issues with budgets. We had issues with everything that was put together. All right. Now we're here. A lot of discussion. Calm heads. Let's just cool down. If we need to take a break, we'll take a break. If we need to proceed forward, let's proceed forward. But those are the three options we've got to do what we need to do. Does everybody understand where we're at? Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. So, because I cheated. I took from you last time. I wrote some down so I wouldn't forget. But one, I just want to start by expressing my dissatisfaction from the county's from the county manager's handling of this budget. From the outset, just like you said, it's clear that this budget was rushed and poorly executed. Errors in the figures and the lack of oversight by the manager created significant challenges for us. It's concerning that despite being part of the community for the entire year, that the manager did not catch a glaring $220 million error in property taxes. And so that's just one question I had, but it's not a question, it's a statement. But as county commissioners, our duty is to make decisions based on the information provided to us. We can't make good decisions if we don't get good information. While it's inevitable that
Not everyone will be pleased with any budget we approve. It's crucial to recognize that continual tax increases are unsustainable given the current economic climate of inflation. Last week, we worked over 8 hours scrutinizing this budget. And what I thought was to support our school system and alleviate burden on taxpayers. Despite identifying additional funds to benefit our schools, I was disappointed, to find that the proposed budget still included the same tax hike, even though we found the additional funds to support the school. So I am fundamentally opposed to raising taxes, but I do support this budget. Now, in regards to non-emergency transport, I addressed it last week that the financial viability is, we've talked about it several times. It does not make money. And the data supports it. It's operating at a loss. Commissioners, we did take the right step last week to reduce the budget. But I do believe we can go farther. Right? If emergency services requires a $3 an hour increase in wages, we can achieve that by discontinuing non-emergency transport. This action would allow us to pursue one of two options. First, we could provide the raises and establish a contingency fund for the future county needs that we just heard. We've got three different things that require us to have additional money. And then just rough figures, so the budget for the net was $746,000. The increase, $3 increase for EMS, we were told last week, was $250,826. Today's figure was $317, but I think that's net and emergency.
Yes, sir, it is.
So if you take $746,000, subtract $250,826, that's a difference of almost $500,000. So that leads me to, you can either have a contingency fund or the animal shelter or the 911 center for the, I'm missing one, there's a third one. Or that could also be a 2 to 3 cent tax relief for the citizens. Now, with all of that said, I do understand that where we're at, like what the day is and where July 1 turns around. I am halfway new to this, so I'm going to just ask, could we not have an interim budget where nothing changes until we could get a better plan on what goes on? And then after July 1, we could actually, again, I don't know that's that, I can see eyes looking, I don't know that that's really doable. I'm asking, is that doable to have an interim budget until we can wrap our heads around this a little better? And thank you all for just listening.
So I will attempt that, but I can't answer that question without first commenting in my disagreement. And we're all entitled to our own opinions. But to say that the budget was rushed, totally disagree. To say that it was poorly executed, I totally disagree with that as well. Can't deny that there were some issues that we encountered, and I am accountable for my role in that. However, it's very interesting that no one else was mentioned in your disappointment or dissatisfaction. There is someone who has taken some responsibility in this, who is appointed by the board, and there was no mention of that. But to your question about whether or not an interim budget can be put in place. Yes, an interim budget can be put in place. The question is, it can't be the current budget because the current budget will end at the end of June 30th. Another budget can be put into place, but the question would be, what would that interim budget be?
I was assuming it could be not this budget we have, but the current. Like, if nothing changed, we would use the same budget as this.
Which budget are you referring to? The one that
23-24, but the one we're just having.
Current year's budget.
Correct.
As the interim. Same
dollar. Right. That's correct. That's
okay.
Yeah, I know that can be done. And what it would put on hold, though, is the things like the increases and whatever else that we wanted to do.
Right. But we could always make those retroactive to July 1, where they would get a back pay. Absolutely. When we passed it.
Mm-hmm. But I make the plea, though, on the elimination of non-emergency transport. You know, we say, well, it's losing money. Well, we knew that. But there has been a time that it has actually made money for us. And we know that 911 is not a moneymaker, but we don't cut that because we know it's important, right?
Well, so
it's mandated by state.
Right. So, but it's a money loser. We lose money on it. The reason we went into the non-emergencies is so we could, you know, reduce some of that exposure to taxpayers. And then we said to the county manager and director, come up with a plan that will make this productive again for us and make it profitable. And when we haven't given them a chance to do that, but I believe it can be done because it's been there before and it benefits our citizens significantly. I mean, we went into this because we knew we could benefit our citizens. So to walk away from that, having not even made that attempt to put that plan together, seems to me a little, you know, we don't need to do that. But I just, you know, we talk about inflation. Inflation hurts all of us, every part. And when we raise taxes, no matter what we give our citizens, we're saying, here, put this in your right pocket. And then we're sticking our hand in that back pocket and pulling it right back out. That's not the way we need to do business. And we don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. If we're bold enough to look at where the money is truly spent, and the examples I gave you with the schools are real examples. There's no way that $1 million should be made and the citizens don't get anything from that. Nobody asked the school system, how much money are you saving by closing those three buildings? Nobody asked that question.
Well, you can ask it.
But I could ask about the church, but we didn't ask it. But I can tell you this, it's more than they're asking for. So if they're making that saving, I've seen the numbers for Southwestern because they were given to us as a board, and that was over half of that cost, just Southwestern. Mm-hmm. So you have two other schools, and then you're going to sell an additional one too at some point. That $1 million, ladies and gentlemen, and board, at least half of that money should have gone back to the citizens. At least. You know, would we be talking about these kinds of tax increases if we had done that? That's an addition to anything else. It's an addition to lottery funds that are going to increase. The addition to that ARPA funds that are sitting there to be used. To me, it doesn't make sense. And it seems like we're afraid to even take a look, a deep enough look, and adjust on that. I would never offer anything if I thought it hurt teachers or if it hurt students or if it hurt our school's ability to do what they need to do in this next budget cycle. It doesn't do that.
I'd like to say that if it was $500,000 given back to the county in reference to a sale of a school, that's only a one-time, one-year deal. Salaries are continuing. Every year you would have to have that. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It's not one of these things that says, okay, they made $1 million on a sale of a school. They have things they have to do. But $500,000 coming back, it's not going to help the budget when it comes to salaries because that's repeat, 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 repeat every year. And that's going to last a year and a half. They need 300. That's a year and a half. And that's not going to work. That has nothing to do with that. As I said before, where I stand at is 2 cents. That is the way to fix this problem. He needed it last year, which was a total of $6 or 6 cents last year.
Well, I think our job is to serve the citizens.
That's right.
And I think it's very important in order to serve citizens that our educational system thrive, not just survive, but thrive. Also, in order to properly serve the citizens, it's important that we take care of the EMS. I mean, you know, as I listen to everyone talk, and because it's important to our citizens, I understand why everybody's against tax increase. I get it. And just for that very fact, I've just been observing surrounding counties, and I've watched other counties who are doing increases that they didn't want to do, but they did it so they could properly serve their citizens within their county and take care of their employees so they could offer service to the county. And, you know, unfortunately, I think, Chairman Trent, that, you know, your recommendation is the best one that we have right now. Nobody wants to do it, but it's, you know, that's just my take. All right.
Is there any other discussion?
No.
Go. So just to clarify, it's 2 cents on top of the 4.5
percent, I mean, not percent, cent that you already recommended. So that's 6.5 cent
yes.
tax increase. So it'd be 93 cent. Oh, okay.
And I'm a firm believer that anything that can increase can also decrease, you know, which I just think, like Chairman Trent said, you know, it's got to be able to sustain the, you know, and it's been 5 years since we had a tax increase. And if we can, you know, properly run things, it could be another 5, 6, 7 years before we have another.
And if you look prior to that in 2017, I think the county manager made a very bold statement when he said that 4.5 cents for a county manager to say that, he's doing the best he can to hold things in place. And in 2017, I think you'll see where the county commissioner lowered the tax rate by 1 penny. Was that not correct, Mr. Weston?
Yeah, I was chairman, and we split exactly. That. We split it with the citizens.
And what it boils down to is that we dropped it 1 cent, so we have gone both ways. So we know what the options are. Is there a motion on the table?
I'll make the motion.
What's the motion?
The motion is that we accept the budget with the increase of the 6.205 increase.
The 2 cent.
The 2 cent increase.
Go ahead. Just to be very clear, the budget ordinance as it as prepared today, based on our discussion, includes a 4.5 cent increase.
Oh, right.
So in order to include the increases, $3 increases for non-emergency transport and EMS, approximately a 2 cent increase would have to take 2 cent increase would have to take place. 4.5 plus the 2 would be a 6.5 cent tax increase.
Yes. I just mentioned that.
No, I was just clarifying because it's not exactly what you said.
I just mentioned that.
Yes, that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays?
Nay.
Nay. Chairman, I think it would be very clear because we have some opposition. It would a roll call vote would be necessary for this.
Okay. Perfect. Mr. Robinson. Mr. Wesson.
No.
Chairman Trent. Aye. Mr. White.
Nay.
Aye.
Thanks, sir. Balance.
Well,
all right. Next meeting date.
So, commissioners, in my mind, we had already done something that I plan to request you to do. Our current meeting schedule shows that there is a meeting on Monday, which is July 1st. But with us having this meeting today, I would like to recommend that the official meeting date, regular meeting for July, be scheduled for July 8th, 6 o'clock p.m. Commissioner's room.
6 o'clock. Okay.
If I can have a motion to amend the meeting calendar.
I'll make that motion to amend the meeting calendar, moving the meeting from July 1st until July 8th at 6 p.m.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. Opioid settlement funds meeting June 28th, 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. Community center room. Making people aware of that. 2024 NACO annual conference, July 12th through the 15th, Tampa, Florida. Everybody aware of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Commissioners' reports. Mr. Robinson.
Well, you know, if they mentioned earlier that the county and the panel is hosting the All-Star Tournament. So if you get a chance, you know, stop by and show your face. The other night they had over 1,200 people there.
Wow.
So, you know, we need to support that. So maybe in the future, we can host it through our rec department and incur the funds.
Mr. Wilson.
No comment.
Okay. Mr. White.
None.
Mr. Balance.
Yes. The board of Albemarle Regional Health System
we're looking for another member from Bertie County to serve as, on the general board, but it didn't have to meet any particular requirements. All the required positions have been filled, and Sister Allen, Miss Dale Allen, has shown interest in filling that spot on behalf of a citizen here in Bertie County.
Okay. Mr. Manager.
Yes, I would just like to follow up and provide a little bit more detail. We do have the opioid settlement funds meeting will take place, as Chairman mentioned, today at 3 o'clock in the community meeting room. This is a requirement for us as a recipient of the opioid settlement funds. And we had our last meeting and first meeting was in December, December 13th, and a very productive meeting. And at this particular meeting, I just want to extend an invitation to everyone to join us. At this meeting, we're going to talk about exactly the services that are currently being provided in the county to combat the opioid epidemic. And from there, we're going to discover some gaps, things that are not being done to address the need, so that we can consider things that can be done with those funds. So all who are capable, today at 3 o'clock, we look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Mr. Attorney.
Yes, sir. No reports.
Okay. All right. We have public comments. Public comments. We have a closed session under North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.11, subsection A, 3, and 4. You have a motion, please.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're now going into closed session. If there is no other conversation, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Well, should we wait for everybody to come back in?
I'm sorry. Everybody back in?
Yes, Chairman.
Thank you. If there's no other conversation, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Have a second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Oh, boy, I was holding for a while. Oh, so I can make it.
And you're going to try to find that.